We're starting a brand new series today called Roots. I told you last week the summer is over, right? You can already have your shocked face away. The summer is officially over already. And so as we go into this next part of a season as a church and in our families and in our lives, I wanted to do a series, and I'll kind of explain why, but it's called Roots and it's out of the book of Psalms. And so here's what I want to do as we start August in these 21 days of prayer. And I say this every Sunday on the first Sunday of the year. I've said this for 4 years now on the first Sunday of the year. And I believe it, though, and so I want to say it a little bit differently here in the middle of August, all right? Here, I want to say it to you just a little bit differently, and that is that 2019 can still be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. You still have a chance for 2019 to be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Because I can't tell you how many testimonies we have from people, individuals or families or couples, who come back and say what an incredible breakthrough they had, not only in the 21 days, but just in their own lives, because they put God first. They put God first in their finances, put God first in their marriages, put God first in their relationships, put God first in their families. And so it's just an incredible time. I'm telling you, I'm confident that God has great things for your life. And we don't just write off 2019 because it feels like we're kind of, you know, just down the tail end of it. But we believe that God can still do amazing things in our families. God can still do amazing things in our own lives. So let me tell you what August is going to look like. Because as we pray and seek God in these seasons, I always ask God for a word that we can kind of rally around as a church. And the word that I felt he gave me for these 21 days is strengthen. Strengthen. Because we have amazing foundations. And I believe we've seen so many people who have come to Christ and so many lives changed and relationships healed. And all of these things that God is doing and working in the middle of us. But then he's called us now to strengthen those things. To strengthen them. Because a lot of times I think it's easy to get distracted, especially in the church, from what God is doing. It's easy to get kind of in a rut of the day to day. And so what January and August allow us to do is to take our eyes off of that rut, that the day to day operates, the day to day things that we've got it stuck in. Take our eyes off of that and then focus them on God. And we get to take these 21 days and kind of shock our mentality, shock our culture, shock ourselves back onto focusing on what God has for us. And so if you would take these 21 days and really go after God, really use them. This is nothing personal. I don't gain anything by trying to convince you, well, come to Monday night or come to Wednesday night or come to... If you would do that for your own life, it's amazing what God would begin to do. It's amazing the spiritual breakthrough that you'll see. Because we're not focused on church building. We're not focused on a church building. We're focused on building the church. And there is a huge difference in there. There's a huge difference because we're not focused on building buildings. We're focused on building lives. It's about people. It's about souls. So I want to take just a couple of minutes and explain this to you, because people erroneously believe sometimes about what the church is. They believe that the church is maybe a building or an institution. It's really not what it is at all. In fact, the first time that you see the word church used in Scripture is where Jesus is discussing his ministry with his disciples. So they're off together. He and his disciples are kind of discussing his ministry and what people think about him and who people say he is. And so he's asking them. And then he asked them in verse 15 of Matthew 16. He asked his team this. He says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Like Peter had this revelation, this moment of he's seeing Jesus for who he really is. And so Jesus replied to him, he said, blessed are you, Father in heaven. In other words, Simon, you're not smart enough to figure this out. God revealed this to you, all right? I don't know, God has told me that a few times. I don't know about you in your life, but a few times God has, it's not Simon's, it's not his wisdom or thing, but God has given him a revelation. And so then he says to him, and I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, in other words, on this revelation that Jesus is the Christ, hell will not overcome it. He said, I will build my church. I believe that's an incredible verse for these 21 days, that God is building the church. And there's nothing in this world that can overcome it. Nothing can stand against it. That he is building it. Now, there's something you need to see in the word church there that will probably get you a little bit more excited about that word. Because we don't get excited about church buildings, right? Or you should not get excited about church buildings. We get excited about building the church, about souls. This word church there is ekklesia. It's the word in the Greek. First time it's used in the Bible. And that is talking about a gathering of citizens. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to build a movement rallied around this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And nothing in the world will be able to stand against that movement. Nothing will be able to stand against that. And that's what he's called us to strengthen in these 21 days. Because the church is not the building. The church is you. If I could tell you, when he said, I will build my church, that's you. And so when God is calling us to strengthen the things that he is building, it's in our lives, in our families. And so we are called as a church to strengthen your intimacy with Christ. to strengthen your family's relationship with Christ, to strengthen your walk with Jesus. It's not about sticks and bricks, everybody. It's about souls. It's about people. And so what I want to do here at the outset is we go into these 21 days and we begin to believe that God has given us that word to strengthen what he is building. We as a church, we want to begin to strengthen those things in your lives. Because we can build a whole lot of pretty buildings, but if no one else gets strengthened in their lives, we've lost. We want to strengthen what God is building. And so I pray as you find this rest of this year, as we go into the 21 days and even beyond that, that you begin to seek what God has for you. That you begin to seek what God has for your life. And I want you to know that our whole church is structured around helping you pursue that spiritual journey, helping you pursue Jesus. So I want to take a couple of minutes and show you how we structure that, how we can help you take you on that journey, whatever your next step is, whatever your next step is in Christ. And so I just want to kind of outline for us. So today, first of all, you've probably heard it 800 times so far. Today starts 21 days of prayer. Come on, somebody. Come on, wake up with me a little bit, all right? Today starts 21 days of prayer. And I mentioned a moment ago, it's August 4th through the 24th. And so we pray on Sundays at 6 p.m. Tonight's the first one at 6 p.m. to 7. And then it's Monday through Friday, 6 a.m., 6 p.m. So whichever one you want to choose. If you like to get up early, come join us at 6 a.m. You like to get up, you like to stay up late, come join us 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We have both options there for you. And then Saturday, we're all together at 9 a.m. And it's going to be right here in the main auditorium. Just would love to have you join us for that prayer. So we have to make sure that we put God first in our life. Because that's why we have these times of 21 days, if I could just get that across. We have to put God first in our lives because nothing happens in the physical until it first happens in the spiritual. So you've been wondering why you don't have that breakthrough in the physical. You've been wondering why you're not seeing that goal or that strength, whatever it is. You're not seeing that happen in the physical. It has to happen in the spiritual first. You've got to put God first in every area of your life. You got to break that stronghold in the spiritual before it ever comes down in the natural. So we're going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit over these 21 days. We're going to say, God, we're putting aside the distractions. We're seeking you. We're looking for what you have for us in this next season. And we want to support you with that. So every day we're praying, all right? So we start, and just to kind of give you the format of that, we start at 6. You'll roll in about 6:05, 6:10, all right? That's okay. It's early. It's 6 a.m. in the morning. But we start that, and then we have a time of worship just to get ourselves right, just to get ourselves in that attitude of worship before God. And then we have a time of preaching and a time of a short message. Either I do it or one of the staff pastors does it, just on prayer. It's usually about 10 minutes long, just on prayer or on seeking God for something in your life or on breakthrough, or on having faith to believe God for the promises that he's made to you. It's just a time of chances to encourage you and just to direct you. And then we set you loose for 30 minutes. We take 30 minutes and we just pray, and you can sit or you can stand or you can pace. Everybody's got something different that they like. I need to walk at 6 a.m. or I fall asleep. All right, everybody, I got to make a lap. I got to get some motion going. 6 p.m. is a little bit better, but the 6 a.m., you'll see. I got to move. All right. And you can bring your coffee in here if that's what you like to do when you pray, whatever you'd like to do. But we just pray for those 30 minutes, and then we come back together and we pray corporately. And we just end that time just praying together corporately, seeking God for the church. And that's just a few minutes at the end before we leave. And we always end right at 7 o'clock. All right. On the dot, not 7:01, not 7:02. We end at 7 o'clock. And the more charismatic among us say, well, what if the Holy Spirit's moving? What if he's moving? Well, he'll move again at the next prayer service. All right, everybody, because he knows that you've got a job to get to at 7 a.m. He's the one that helped you find that job. So you got to get there on time. All right. So we end at 7 o'clock on the dot, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We'd just love to have you take a chance with us just to begin to pray. And so we have that time of corporate prayer at the end that I love the most, by the way. So we have all the time during the prayer, but then at the end, when we just begin to pray together, we just begin to lift up our voices together. And I promise you, it's the catalyst for everything else that we do in this church. It's the catalyst for everything else that we do in our lives. Prayer is the engine that makes it all go. We never take a step without God with us. We never know what God's plan is until we pray. We never begin to communicate with him. And so we want to help you with that. And so I'll start tonight at 6 p.m. You come back tonight. I just want to teach you how to pray. I know a lot of times in our Christian lives, a lot of Christians go through with this idea, well, I know I need to pray, and I feel this guilt that I don't pray, but then that's kind of, I don't know what to do with that. And so I want to show you in these 21 days. I just want to teach you how to pray, because I don't believe that prayer should be this guilt laden, this burden that's laid on our hearts when we just say, well, I got to pray again. Prayer should be the delight of our lives. Prayer should be the delight that we get to communicate with a Father who loves us more than we can ever imagine. That a Father who loves us more than we could ever dream, we get to communicate with him. And so prayer is this awesome chance to do that. We want to show you that in these 21 days. And so as we teach, as we begin to worship, as we begin to pray together, I just want to teach you how you can have a prayer life in your own life. And we call that day 22 prayer. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go through the 21 days. But now as we launch into a brand new series called Roots and just kind of give direction for the next few months, I did it under this thought that if we are called now to strengthen our relationship with Christ, to strengthen ourselves, strengthen our marriages, strengthen our bodies, strengthen our families, strengthen everything, I wanted to come at this from the idea of roots. And I'll show you a little bit how that ties together. And the idea comes out of Psalms 92. And I found this verse. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Because as we prepare for the rest of the year, and we carry this burden of the fact that God has called us to strengthen our relationships in Christ, the Lord kind of led me to this scripture that says that not only are you supposed to grow, but you're supposed to flourish. So not only are you supposed to be kind of surviving and kind of sitting out there and just kind of going through your day-to-day steps, but you're supposed to flourish. You have to personally be healthy. You have to personally be growing spiritually. You have to personally be growing in your lives and in your relationship with Christ if you're going to flourish, if you're going to strengthen what God is building, if you're going to be part of that movement. If you're going to be a part of the church, you have to personally be flourishing. And the word flourish here in the Hebrew, it means to break forth as a bud, to blossom, or to fly. Come on, the Lord, now he's not saying that you need to just survive until Jesus comes back. The Bible is saying that you can fly. Come on, somebody, if you're a Space Jam fan, I don't know if you have any Space Jam fans in the house, but I believe that you can fly, all right? Come on, so I believe that you can. I believe that you can flourish. I believe that you can break forth. And it's a reality that God has placed in your heart. A reality that it's not just hold on till Jesus comes. It's I can flourish. And I want to teach you kind of how we're going to do that in this Roots series over the next 4 weeks. So I'll tell you where we're going. Verse 12, it starts off with this statement, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. And I love that statement because palm trees grow where you wouldn't expect things to grow. They grow in the desert. Palm trees, they tend to flourish and they tend to grow strong in places where you wouldn't expect anything to live, out in the sands of the desert. So next week, we're going to spend talking about perspective. We're going to spend the entire time talking about perspective because if you're going to flourish and in your relationship with Christ, if everything's going to fall in line, if you're going to grow in your relationship, then you have to stop playing the game of one day I'll be happy. One day I'll be happy, because that's just a trick of the devil to keep you from growing in God right now. One day I'll be happy when I get out of school, or one day I'll be happy when I get married, or one day I'll be happy when I have children. Some of you are saying, one day I'll be happy when I get rid of my children, right? You just, come on, somebody, you just, one day I'll be happy. And we spend our entire lives never living in that season. We spend our entire lives never living in the season that we're in. We spend our entire lives looking down the road saying one day, and it's a trick of the devil that'll try to keep you from flourishing in what God has for you. Then verse 12, the second half, he says, they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. You see, I believe God wants to expand our influence. God wants to bless you. God wants to grow you. But it doesn't always happen the way that we want it to happen. See, we serve a crockpot God in a microwave world. Come on, somebody. We say, well, I want it now. I want whatever it is God has for me. I want him to grow me. I want him to do. I want everything that God has. I want it right now. Like, I don't care if I can afford it. Give me the credit card, baby, right? I just bring it to me now. I deserve it. And God is saying, that's not how I want to grow you. God will grow. You can grow large like a cedar of Lebanon, but they are some of the slowest growing trees in the world. I actually have family, some uncles and aunts and a cousin who live in Beirut, Lebanon. And what they did on the top of their apartment building is he took a cedar, a tree, and he planted it on the top of the apartment building when my cousin was born. And it was this nice thing, and that was her tree, a cedar tree on the top, about the 16th floor, because they had this little garden area, and he grew that thing. Problem is, my cousin's in her 30s now. So a couple of years ago, you can imagine, it's a cute tree when it's younger, but 30 years later, you got a full, you know, a 10-foot tall cedar growing on top of living people. Come on, somebody. Fire marshal is going to have something to say about that. And so they had to get a crane and remove it and go plant it up into the mountain area. But these things grow so slowly, but God is saying he can grow you. He can make you grow like that, but it's not always how we expect it. And so in week three, we're going to talk about God's plan for your life. We're going to talk about the process. So week two, we're going to talk about perspective, but then week three, we're going to talk about the process that God brings us to. Because God has a plan for your life, but oftentimes it can be frustrating if we try to rate it at the rate of our world's culture. All right? And then verse 13 says that we should be planted in the house of the Lord. And so week four, we're going to conclude the series talking about the place that you're planted. Talking about the church. Because I believe if you're going to be planted in the house of the Lord, you've got to be connected with a great local church. And I think this is a great one, but if it's not this one, it's got to be a great local church that you're connected in. So we're going to talk about what that means. What that means to be connected in the church. And then at the end of verse 13, I believe the catalyst for all of those. So that's week 2, 3, and 4. But I believe the catalyst for all of those is what we're going to talk about today. And that is at the end. It says they will flourish in the courts of our God. And anytime you see that phrase, the courts of our God, it represents the presence of God or a relationship with God. Because you know today, as we talk about the presence of God, the catalyst, the thing that drives all the other things, it's what fuels everything else in your life. We talk about the presence of God because the presence of God is what helps you have the right perspective. The presence of God is what helps you endure the process. The presence of God is what leads you to the right place to be planted in. It's all about the presence of God. Let me put it this way. The presence of God is everything in your life. The presence in the house and the power of God. So we got to back up for a minute because this whole passage, this entire Psalms 94 is laced with this imagery or this idea that you and I are plants. Now, I've called you a lot of things in the last few sermon series, but this is the first time that I'm calling you a plant, all right? So just kind of get that image in your mind that you and I are plants and that we would live in some kind of a house, which is, I think, a little foreign to us here in the South, because some of us do have house plants, all right, and we don't take very good care of them. But for most of us, we believe plants live outside, right? Plants are outside, humans are inside. But if I could just kind of give you that imagery of this plant, because the Bible's talking about these plants planted in the house of the Lord. And so the house that would have influenced the psalmist in these times in Middle Eastern culture, the houses were built in a square, and in the center was this courtyard where it was open to the sky. And so they had this center, and all the rest of the house kind of fed into that courtyard. And what the family would do is they would find the most fertile soil that they could find, and they would put that in the courtyard. The most fertile arid soil that they could find, plant that, and then they would take the plants that they loved the most, the ones that they would nurture, the ones that they loved the most, and they would an incredible place for a plant to be. This was the place. If you were a plant, this is what you were aspiring to. All right. I don't know if you've ever had that mindset that if you were a plant, where would you want to be? You would want to be in the courtyard. All right. So just kind of get that in your mind. Lord, but the Bible is saying when you will flourish in the courts of our God, what he's saying is in the presence and the power of God is where you flourish. When you're planted in the presence and the power of God, when you're planted there, you can have that experience with God. You can have that relationship with Christ. And that's where you can flourish. That's where the most incredible fertile area is. It'll radically alter your life if you get this in your life. I promise you, if you get this truth down in your heart, it will radically alter the way that you live. Because it's in the presence of God that everything else flourishes. And I think sometimes we get it backwards. We think, well, if I can just do all these things, well, then I'll go just be in the presence of God. You got to start there. You have to be planted in the presence of God before the rest of your life starts to flourish. So you say, well, I haven't seen results in this area, and I haven't seen what I really wanted to see here, or God's not moving there. You got to start in the presence of God. You got to be planted in the presence. In fact, jot it down if you're taking notes today, that God doesn't just want to be studied. He wants to be experienced. And I think sometimes we get a little too over-sermonized, if I can make that a word today. We get a little too over-taught. We get a little too stuck in the studying of God, and we forget that he is a God to be experienced. He's a God that wants you to experience. In fact, as a pastor, it's my job to lead you into spiritual experiences. Because to be honest with you, a lot of us probably are way overeducated past our point of obedience. We're way overeducated past what we actually obey in the Word of God. And so I just want to encourage you, God doesn't just want to be studied all the time. He wants to be experienced. We serve a true and a living God who can be experienced. All other religions, they have the study. And they have all the words and they have all the right things, but our God is alive and can be experienced. Come on, somebody, if we believe that, then we'll seek after that with all of our hearts. We will seek after the presence of God. So we've got to have experiences with the power and the presence of God. And I want to show you this prayer I have for you. It's out of Ephesians chapter 3. So Paul is saying, may you experience the love of Christ. Why? Because though it's too great to understand fully, though you can go after God with intellectual, you can put all the intellectual you want and have that satisfied in God, but you will never understand him fully. Because God is so much higher. And he says, though you would be great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You experience that presence and that power of God. That's what ignites everything in your life. You want that fullness of God. It starts in the presence of God. Now, we got to understand the root systems of plants. So if we're a plant and we're planted in this relationship with Christ, our roots have to grow strong in him for us to achieve anything else above the ground. Our roots have to grow strong in him. Jot it down if you're taking notes. First thing I want you to understand is roots determine strength. Our roots determine the strength of our lives. What we're rooted in determines how strong our lives are. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, backing it up. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him, your roots will grow down. Underline that line. It's an important phrase right there. Will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Your roots will grow down into God's love. One of the problems with Christian life, especially in America, is we get a little too concerned with the visible things. We forget about the roots and the things that are below the ground. We get a little too concerned, even in deep theological America, we get too concerned with the visible things. We start to look at the impressive things about Christianity and the fruits that we are bearing and the things. And all of those are important. But every time that fruits are mentioned in the Bible, it's an indicator of what's happening in the rest of the plant. Every time we talk about fruits, and so we tend to focus too much on that visible thing. And we just don't look at them as indicators. We look at them as the end all be all. But they're indicators of what's happening in the rest. The Bible tells us we need to concentrate on growing down into God's love in your roots. You got to get them deep into God's love. Because you got to grow down before you can grow up. Come on, somebody. Somebody's saying, that's what's wrong with my husband. Now I understand why he's that. And that's mean, all right? That's mean. You know, he's immature for a reason. Come on, somebody. Gosh, anyways, y'all are tough today. I don't know. That's all right. I'm surviving. Maybe somebody online's laughing a little bit harder. You gotta grow down before you can grow up. So Proverbs chapter 12, it says it this way. Wickedness never brings stability. So a lot of times we think, well, if I can just shortchange or shortcut in this area, or if I can just do this thing, or maybe give a little in this area, then I can make a lot more money and I can have a lot more finances and my influence will grow and I'll be stable. The Bible says that never brings stability. Wickedness in any form, it never brings stability. No, but the godly have deep roots. That's the goal of our lives. That's the goal of this series. That's the goal of the 21 days, that we would be able to put roots down into a relationship with Christ, into the presence and the power of God. It says the godly have deep roots. That's where stability comes from. So I want you to know, as you experience God, as you experience this life, this relationship with him, you put your roots down into him. You begin to experience the stability that God has called us to live, that God has called us to have in our families and in our lives. You want stability in your life. It never happens any other way but the presence and the power of God. You get the roots down into him. Now, I'm not telling you anything probably that you don't know today. This is not a sermon that's geared around, well, I've never heard that before. This is a sermon maybe geared around, well, I've never done that before. Because I would just call you, just begin, as simple as it is, begin to live this out in your life. Begin to live it out in your life. Now, let me just kind of tell you the plant situation at my home, because I think that's important for you to know. At my house, we have planted everything that can possibly be planted in this world, all right? We have tried every single thing that you can, even indigenous plants that only grow on like one island in the South Pacific, we have tried to grow in our yard, all right, everybody? We have brought it in. I guarantee you the next invasion species, the kudzu 2.0, is going to trace to ground zero at my home, all right? It's just the way we have tried everything, and most of it dies, but some of it lives. But before we had kids, my wife and I were given three trees by three different people. And we were given during that year. And so we didn't really think about it. We just kind of threw them out in the yard because we didn't play in the yard a lot back then. But we just kind of put them out there and just do. But then kids came along and we realized those trees were planted in the worst possible area. Right? You can't really play in the yard when you got three just weird looking trees just planted in a triangle out there. All right. And so we like nature and we enjoy, you know, the plants and things. We didn't want to kill the trees, but we thought one of them had to go. Well, about 6 months ago, one of them started looking sick, all right? Everybody started coughing out there. The little tree started looking a little bit sick. So I thought, now is your time. Now's the time to get rid of this thing. So I'm out there with my shovel, and I start to dig into that Louisiana soil and rock and clay. And Lord knows, I had to get saved four times in the process of this, all right, everybody? I don't know if you've ever tried to dig out a tree. Because we want to save the tree. We want to transplant the tree. I don't know if you've ever tried. You can't get all the roots. Has anyone ever tried to dig somewhere in your yard and you realize that the tree 40 feet away has roots right there? Like it's been drained. You can't get all the roots. I start to dig. I start to say things that are not becoming of a person, right, who should be outside with his neighbors can hear him. And I just start to, it's just a good time with the tree. All right. And so I'm trying to dig out this tree. Can I tell you, roots are deep. I don't care if the tree's 3 feet tall. Roots are deep. Roots have started to go. Like I did a little study this weekend on trees, and actually you never see anything above ground until that main root goes down and then it grows out and then the tree grows up. And so I don't know if you've ever tried to dig out a tree, but it's got a massive root system underneath the ground. Caused a lot of trouble sometimes, but for the tree, it's great. It's got that massive root. I don't care if it's 5, 6 feet tall, 10 feet tall. It's got that massive root system. So I'm trying to dig this tree out like an idiot. So I'm trying to dig with this shovel and thing. And I just, for the life of me, I cannot get all the roots. I cannot dig all. And so then thank God for the DeWalt Sawzall. Come on, somebody, right? Just thank the Lord. It really does saw all. It really does, all right? It really does change the game. It does. But it's tough to move a tree when its roots are deep. It's tough to get a tree out of there when its roots are deep. And that's probably a pain for me, but it's great for the tree. Because when the winds and the waves of life come and beat against, I don't know if you've ever seen in a hurricane, you can tell really quickly which trees have deep roots and which trees start to give and start to topple over. I was thinking, all these trees I see topple over in the hurricanes, and my little 4-foot tree never gave over. Now I got to dig it out. Anyways, that's my problem, not yours. But it's tough to move that tree. But when the winds and the waves come, and the same in our own lives, when winds and waves, let me put it this way for you guys, your life will be full of trouble. I know that sounds super pessimistic this morning, but it's the reality. It's the reality of what we live in, the world that we live in. Your life will be full of trouble. Jesus never said, I'm going to save you out of the storm. He said, I'll keep you safe in the storm. I'll keep you safe in there. And so when those winds and those waves, when they come and they beat against you and they come against your life, your roots have to be grounded in something that's solid. Your roots have to be deep. Because if you have that good root system, your life will hold up to the test. But if you don't, and I want to get to that, the Bible has called us to have deep roots in the presence and the power of God. We got to sink our roots. And that's why we can't just approach God intellectually. We can't just go after God, just studying him. You got to experience the presence and the power of God. It can't all be head knowledge, because head knowledge doesn't stand up to the test when we walk through tragedy and when the storms of life come. Because if all you have is an argument, you can lose an argument, but you can't lose an experience. You can't lose the experience of the power and the presence of God, because when you have that for yourself, and I'm encouraging every single one of you to have that for yourself, not the experience that your parents had, not the experience that your brother or sister had, not the experience that anybody else had, but when you experience the presence and the power of God, when you have it for yourself, you're no longer at the whim of someone with an argument. You're no longer, no matter what comes against you, no matter what wave or wind blows, it cannot take that from you. It can't topple you over when your roots are deep in the presence and the power of God. That's why Paul said, Romans chapter 8, he said, for I am convinced. You remember Paul. Paul is the greatest intellectual mind of the church of that day. And Paul is saying, I'm convinced, not because of intellectual watch. Why are you convinced, Paul, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, why are you convinced of this, Paul? Neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You say, why, Paul? Why are you convinced of that? Because Paul, you remember, Paul wasn't convinced by an argument. Paul had an experience on the way to Damascus. Paul had an experience on the road with Jesus Christ. He had experience in the presence and the power of God. That's why he's convinced neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God. No wind and no wave and no storm of life can knock you over when your roots are in the presence and the power of God. When you've experienced that for yourself. And that's the experience that I want you to have. That's what we've geared. It's what we've made our whole church around, is that idea that you can have that experience with the true and living God. Not that we come together and a bunch of people in a room on a Sunday morning singing songs and saying words and having fun. That's not what we want, to have that experience with a true and living God. And I want that for every single person. Because when you've had that experience for yourself, there's no wave. There's nothing that can topple you. No argument, no person, no wind, no agony, no anything can keep you from the love of God. Nothing else can move you. And I want you to see this, because it's not ironic, but it's incredible the way that this works. Because if you are rooted correctly, then the winds and the rains and the things that the devil tries to bring against you, instead of toppling you over and becoming this harmful thing to your life, all those things that it brings, everything that you walk through, then becomes the fertilizer that helps you grow in what God has promised you. Because if you realize this, if we plant the rain, a little bit of rain is actually good for the roots if you're grounded correctly. That storm and that water that the rain brings is good for the tree if you're grounded correctly. Because then you can soak it in. Because if you put it down this way, if you're taking notes, roots determine growth. So they determine strength. They determine the strength as long as you grow down into the presence and the power of God. And they also determine the growth. So the roots that you have will determine that. That's why Colossians chapter 2, it says it again. Let your roots grow down. There's the phrase again. Into him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong. Faith is the vehicle that God has given us to achieve the life that he has promised us. You want to achieve the life that God has promised you. You want that in your life. Faith is the vehicle that he's given to achieve it. Hebrews chapter 11, it says it this way. And it's through faith. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice. They received what God had promised them. It's by faith that you receive the promise. It's by faith that you receive. And your faith grows strong if your roots are deep in him. Your faith grows strong. That's my desire, not only in these 21 days, but in your lives moving forward. In your lives, in your families, in your marriages, in your relationships, in everything that you do moving forward. My goal, my hope, my prayer for you is you receive what God has promised you. I want you to receive the promise that God has for you, the dream God has put in your heart. Because so many times we let it fall on the wayside because we never got our roots. We never got our roots grounded in him. And so our faith isn't strong. And so we kind of give up on the dreams and the promise God has given us. We kind of leave it all behind. And God is saying, if you can get your roots into him, your faith will grow strong and you'll see the promise God has for you. You got to have the presence of God. You got to have the presence of God. If you're going to experience what God has for your life, you got to experience the presence and the power of God. So let me give you two action steps that we can take before we go today. Two action steps that we can take to experience. It's just very, very simple. Probably things that you know already, but things that we have to put into practice in our life. Number one, if you want to jot it down, if you're taking notes, first one is you got to accept it. It seems simple on the surface. You got to accept it to be planted in the house of our God, in the courts of our God. You got to accept it. If you want to have that experiential relationship with him, I love this phrase, Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts, filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Blessed are those that you choose. You know, everything that you do in your relationship with Christ, everything that you do in your relationship with God is a response to what he's already done for you. Everything that you do in your relationship with Christ is already a response. So the weight isn't on you to create this intimate relationship with him. The weight's not on you. It's not this burden that you have to manufacture some relationship with God. God already wants a relationship with you. He's already done all the hard parts of making that relationship with you. God's already died in your place to have a relationship with you, to wash you clean. And your job now is just to accept it. You've got to accept what he's done for you. So you don't strive through all these religious works to get to God. Look, he chose you. If you're a plant and you're planted in the house of our God, if you're planted in the courts of our God, he chose us. And every single person here is a candidate for that relationship with God. That God's already chosen you, that God's already expecting you to come and have that relationship with him. And so you can't listen to the lie of the devil that God would never love a person like you. Or the devil that said, well, God could never accept a person like you. Or God could never even look at a person like you. Do you see how your life is? Or you see what you're struggling with? Or you know, you see that addiction that's broken into your life. Or you see those thoughts that you're struggling with. Or you see your marriage that's been in shambles. Or look at the way that your kids live. Or look at the lies of the devil to keep you from that relationship with God. That God's already opened up that door for you and he's waiting for you. You can never be too sinful to get to God. God wants you. He loves you the way that you are, and you've got to accept it. You've got to accept it. If you want to have that experience with God, he's waiting for you. You got to accept it. You want to experience the presence and the power of God in your life. You got to accept it. And then the second step today as we close, if you want to experience the presence, this one I'm asking you to join me with here in August. Let's pursue it together. You want to experience that presence. You want that relationship with Christ. Let's pursue it. Starting tonight, 6 p.m., let's pursue this together. Let's pursue the courts of our God. As we close, Psalms 84 says, my soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. The psalmist crying out, my heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Why? He says it in verse 10. Because better is one day in your courts. So you got to get that in your life. Better is one day in the presence and the power of God. Better is 1 hour, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the presence of God than 1,000 somewhere else. Better is one day in the presence of God. Better is one day experiencing that relationship with Christ. And when you get your roots down deep into that, when you get your roots down deep into Christ, when you begin to experience it in your life, there's nothing in this world that can move you. There's nothing in this world that can shake you. When you get your roots down, when you experience the love and the presence and the power of our God, there's no storm that can stop you. It's nothing. Let's pursue it together. Every head bowed, every eye closed today. Just across this room, and if you're listening online, I just want you to take a moment right now. Just begin to take self-introspection. Just begin to take stock of your life. Because maybe there are some of you who are struggling because you've never experienced the power of God. And maybe you've been in church your whole life and you played the game and you've seen others experience it and you just said, well, that's good enough, but you've never experienced it for yourself. You never put down roots deep into the presence of God. And this morning, I just want to give you that opportunity to have that experience. And I want you to know today that God loves you. No matter what the devil has told you, God loves you the way that you are, and he wants you to have that relationship with him. Every single person has that opportunity. You can never be too sinful to get to God. And he's waiting for you. He wants you to experience him. And all you have to do is surrender to him. Nobody's looking around. Every head is bowed, but I want to give you that opportunity. It's the best decision that you can make in your life, and I just want to be honored to help you with that. Just take the moment. We're not rushing through this. Take the moment to take spiritual inventory of your life. Where are you grounded today? Where are you rooted? Do your roots go down deep into a bank account or into your finances or into a relationship? Do your roots go down deep into anything but God? Because if they do, the winds of life will come and you will be uprooted. It's a reality of life that there will be struggles, there will be troubles, there will be pain, there will be winds and waves. And if your life is rooted in anything else but Christ, when they come, you will be uprooted. But if you want a life that can truly stand the test, if you want a life that can truly stand the test of the waves and the wind, it's only found in Christ. And so I want to give you an opportunity to take that step today. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come to the front. No one else is looking around. I'm not in this to embarrass you. I just want to connect you with Jesus Christ. There's no better opportunity for you than right now. And so if that's you, if you say in your heart, I want to be grounded in him. I want to root my life in the presence and the power of God. I'm just going to ask you to do one thing, and nobody else is looking around, but would you do me the favor? You say, Ben, today's my day. Include me in that prayer. If that's you today, would you just slip up your hand right now? Thank you. Great job. Great job. Anybody else? No one else is looking around. Every eye is closed, guys. If you want to make that decision, you say, include me in that prayer. You want to join those three. Just stretch your hand out. Great job. Man, proud of you. Is anybody else before we pray? If I didn't see your hand, heaven saw it. I want you just to begin to pray this prayer, and the whole church is going to pray it with you. With those four who raised their hand and anyone online who wants to pray this prayer, come on, church, let's pray this prayer with them. Just say with your mouth, say, Dear Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my mistakes. I want to be grounded in you. I accept what you did on the cross. I accept your love for me. Now say these words, today I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every person in our church. God, that you have a great future and a great plan for every single person, Lord. That you have promises for their lives. God, I thank you that as we pursue you, as we put roots into the presence and the power of God, that you would begin to live out those promises in our lives, God. You would begin to strengthen us as our roots go deep into relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that every day would be filled with experiences of the love and the power of God. Lord, that as we seek you in these 21 days, that we would begin to know you more and more. God, that we would never, God, never let anything get between us and you. And Father, as we seek you, that we would experience the power of God in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. We love you today, Lord. We praise you today, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Guys, stand up with me today. Can we put our hands together for what God has done in lives today? We just want to end in worship. Can we just begin to lift him high? Come on, let's worship as one church body. As we go into these 21 days, let's begin to just lift him high. Let's seek him and thank him for what he's going to do, for the power of God in our lives. Come on, let's sing together. Let's just begin to worship him. Come on. Oh,